everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, here with Francis Schott. We own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and we're here to bring you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every day from 11 to noon, or reach us through restaurantguysradio.com. Good morning, Francis.
Hi there, Mark.
How you doing? Welcome home.
Thank you. Glad to be back. Sorta. For those of you in listener land, I just returned from Ireland.
Yeah, with nice little trip.
Land of my forebears. Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. The island of saints and fairies and...
I'm not even going there.
Not that kind of fairy.
I had a nice little weekend myself.
Yeah?
Yeah, we did some grilling and barbecuing in the backyard.
Yeah?
It was big fun.
You did not.
Well, we didn't really, but we did some ribs and some burgers and some chicken and...
That barbecue line was a lob, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was indeed.
That was a segue into our discussion, which is we're going to talk about real barbecue today.
Except I really did do some fake barbecuing.
Well, you did some real grilling.
Well, no, I what I do with the ribs is I cook them for a couple hours in the oven at a low temperature, and then I take them out to the grill and just finish them off out there.
I recently met some gentlemen who would quibble with your classification of that as real barbecue.
I'm sure that they would just not even quibble with it. They'd call me an idiot and move along.
No, they're nicer than that. That's just what they'd think. What we're talking about, for all you out there, our listeners, is we're talking about the distinction between barbecue and grilling. Now, barbecue, real barbecue, we don't see a lot of in New Jersey, and only recently have we started to see some in New York. Mm-hmm. But real barbecue is a long, slow, I mean, like 18-hour cooking process.
Well, Francis, we're here in New York, New Jersey area.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have time to barbecue.
Exactly right.
I got 18 minutes. Ready, set, go.
Well, and you also, you know, I find that in suburban lawns, if you put a coal pit in your backyard, people get really upset.
Neighbors get ticked.
It can really bring down the property values.
And you can't fit a pig in one of those terracotta things that goes on your patio.
But if you're in Decatur, Alabama, it's just, you know, if you don't have one, you're not cool. Well, I recently went to, as you know, and this is to tell all of you out there in listener land, I went to the Big Apple Barbecue before I left. And the Big Apple Barbecue is a big deal thing.
It's huge.
It's at Madison Square Park, and it's a Saturday event. It's a two-day event, actually. And we have the best barbecuers from all over the country come to this region, which is kind of unusual. We've got Brian Bracewell from Texas. We have Ken Callahan from Blue Smoke in New York. And they sort of host the event, but it's outside in the park.
Yeah, he doesn't travel very far.
No, he's the closest, yeah. We have Mike Sarge Davis from Little Rock, Arkansas. Chris Lilly from Decatur, Alabama. Mike Mills, who's a great author. He comes all the way from up from Illinois. We got Ed Mitchell from North Carolina. We have people from all over the country, and what's real interesting is, while they do barbecue all over America, it's different every place.
So how many different barbecue people are at this event, for instance?
Ten. Ten different master bar. Now, these people go and have a competition every year. In the Memphis in May competition, there are 1,000 pit masters. That's what you call somebody who does barbecue. 1,000 entries into the Memphis in May competition.
They take this stuff pretty seriously.
They really do, and they travel all over the country to do it. And barbecue lovers, likewise, travel all over the place. And there are regional differences.
Mm-hmm.
In Texas, they barbecue mostly beef. In Mississippi, in the Northeast, they barbecue mostly pork.
Well, we met that guy from the Farmers Alliance. He works for a company called Riviera Produce.
Yeah.
And he and his band go and play at all these events.
Yeah.
They just set up and start playing at these barbecue events all across the country.
Well, they did the same thing in the bar. I mean, this is a whole culture. It's called Q, by the way, if you're in the know. You're going to go and get you some Q. I'm picking up a southern accent talking to you. I don't know where that came from. I was speaking to Brogue 2 days ago. Now I got an Irish accent. So they have the music. They have the whole thing. They have bands. They do this every June. This is the second year. We're going to do it again next year. But they have bands. They have bands all afternoon. Bands like, and there's different kinds of music depending on where you're getting your barbecue. There was jazz. There's a jazz band. There's a rockabilly band, a country band.
Well, just like each area has its own style of barbecue, they also have their own style of music that goes with it.
And it's the style of barbecue is what they barbecue and also what sauce they put on it. Because barbecue sauce, you know, this whole, like, we go to the supermarket and you get that cayenne pepper thing, that's not really, I mean, you can't call it a barbecue sauce in barbecue country. I mean, some places have tomato-based barbecue sauce that's like that but better. I had some of the best food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this stuff took a long time to cook, and it was unlike anything. There's no way to make it that good unless you cook it that long.
Well, you know, I was really jealous because I adore barbecue and was unable to come with you because the baby was just a week or two old at the time.
All I have to say is get your priorities straight, man. But well, I will tell you about this festival. What was interesting is you saw New Yorkers who were just, I mean, were very fanatical about this. Now, this was a hot summer day, and there were lines. The way it works is you go to the barbecue festival, there's no fee for entry, but you can buy a beer, and they closed off a city block around Madison Square Park.
Which is impressive in and of its own.
Holy cow.
To close off a city block in Manhattan is beautiful. The logistics of doing that just must be tragic.
Beautiful summer day, and there were lines, Mark. There were lines, like, I mean, I would say that it took you an hour to get to the front of the line. There's no fee for entry, and you get up to any stand you want to go to, and it's $7 for a plate of barbecue, whatever they're making. I don't know, pig lips, hog feet, I don't know. But all kinds of things. You know, I thought to myself, I would never stand on a line that long for anything in the hot sun, except maybe barbecue. But I also got a press pass. I love this radio show. Because they have this thing, if you go, and I'm going to tell you, if you go, buy this thing called a Bubba Pass. And you can find out more about this and when the next one's coming.
I'm sorry, Francis.
A Bubba Pass. That's what I said. Yeah.
Okay. You go, whatever Bubba, you say, man.
You go to this. By the way, part of what was great about this event was it was totally ridiculous to see New Yorkers doing this. So you go to www.bigapplebbq.org, and we'll put that up on our website later, and you can find out more about next year. But the lines are interminable. Mm-hmm. But if you go and you buy a Bubba Pass for $100, you can go to you cut in front of the whole line. And that is worth $100 worth of stuff. So the idea is you better go really hungry.
So you could go to the 10 places with, or you can go to 7 places with 2 people.
That's
and
it.
And at $49, you'd each,
that's
you'd
it.
Make out.
Or
and you can go to the front of the line. You don't have to wait for 150 people to get the barbecue.
There you go. And it's like an hour in the hot sun waiting to one place, and then if you want barbecue from someplace else, that's another hour.
That's really a no-brainer.
I recommend
as decadent as we are.
but the thing is you can get 4 people and spend $25 a person.
Right, that's true.
So, you go, you get the Bubba Pass, or you start your own radio show and you get a press pass. I really do like this.
Francis,
part of it, yeah?
Do the people online get mad at you when you cut in front of them?
No, they don't. You sort of go in the back, and you have this official-looking pass around your neck, and they figure you're somebody important. I'm not, but it looked like I was somebody important.
So you fooled them.
I did.
Way to be, man.
I had them fooled. But you have real barbecue here, and you also have the real people that do it. These are the championship barbecuers from across the country, and they're there, and you can talk to them when you get up there.
Now, are they from restaurants? Now, are these guys just backyard barbecuers?
Some of them are backyard barbecuers. This is like a hobby. This is like, you know, if you had a sport that was your hobby.
It's like a Civil War reenactor goes around the country, huh?
Even more serious, and some of these guys have restaurants. I mean,
have you seen some of those Civil War reenactors?
Yeah.
They're pretty serious.
I knew one. He sold his horse. His wife made him sell his horse a couple of years ago, a friend of mine.
Oh, man. Yeah. So now he's got to be infantry.
Poor Jack. Anyway. No. He's giving it up, much like you've given up golf. But some of these people own restaurants, but the thing is, a lot of these people do it for the love of it. And they are very knowledgeable about it and about the history of it. And these recipes come down in their families. And when you go to these individual stands, the person, the pitmaster, is there to talk to. And also, usually it's their friends and family, as well as maybe some employees who are longtime employees that are making this happen.
Mm-hmm.
They're fascinating people to talk to, and I got the chance to talk to some of those people. I actually went there I took our chef, Anthony Bucco, from Stage Left, and we went down and we talked to all the different people to really get an insight on barbecue. And the thing about barbecue, unless you got to go to a competition or some kind of a festival like this, because that's the only way to really have Louisiana barbecue next to Mississippi barbecue.
Francis, I'm really looking forward to listening to that. And right after the break, we'll be back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. Time is 11:15. Back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. Today we're going to be talking about barbecue. Francis went to a great little festival in New York City to learn all about barbecue, where people from across the country come and talk Q, which is the in-the-know lingo for barbecue.
You sound a little queenie when you said that, Mark. Gotta be honest with you. So I did have a great opportunity to go and talk to these guys.
I think my feelings are hurt.
I gotta be honest, man. No, I went. I did have an opportunity to talk to these guys. I think they were. I learned so much, and I had read a lot about barbecue, and I've had a little bit of barbecue in my life, but I haven't traveled that widely with barbecue. Next year, my goal on the motorcycle, going around to visit these places.
I think it'd be a great trip.
And the nice thing about this was it wasn't a barbecue competition, which is where you usually see these guys together. It was just a fair. So why don't we listen to some of the people we talked to about barbecue, and hear it from the.
Let's talk about Texas Q.
And hear it, pardon the pun, from the horse's mouth or the pig's snout. Anyway, here we are at the barbecue festival in New York just about a month ago.
So, Chef, here we are. We're standing on the corner of Madison Avenue and 26th Street, and the street's closed off, full of barbecue lovers, Q lovers for short, on Qs. And the point of the barbecue here is, of course, that there's barbecue from North Carolina, there's barbecue from South Carolina, there's barbecue from Texas, and barbecue from New York. So we're going to go in and sample. We're here early. We've got our press pass. This is what you call a perk. Restaurant business, journalism business, full of perks. Chef, what are your thoughts on barbecue?
Love barbecue, Francis.
What are your thoughts about barbecue in New York?
It's a different perspective on barbecue, I guess. You find that barbecue tends to stay down south and out southwest of the country. It's very rare to find it in the Northeast, but it's become more and more common lately with the addition of Blue Smoke and a lot of the more casual restaurants along the Broadway, Times Square area, Virgil's and some items like that.
Well, we got our press passes to let us go to the head of the line. You want to go and steal some barbecue from these New Yorkers?
Let's start eating.
All right. We're standing in front of the Salt Lake Barbecue from Driftwood, Texas, where the pitmaster is Michael Rodriguez. So we're going to go try some brisket, sausage, and coleslaw, some Texas Q, shall we? All right, the Salt Lake. And I would like you to take your coleslaw, which is like unlike any coleslaw I've had around here, and I would like you to put a bunch in your mouth, and I would like you to crunch loudly for the microphone. I don't know if you can hear that, but it's a cacophony over here of crunchy, beautiful slaw. What's in there, man?
Well, the first thing actually I get is sesame seeds, which actually are quite interesting in here because this isn't coleslaw that your mom made. There's no mayonnaise in here. There's no real vinegar flavor. It's very simply cabbage, carrots, some nice sesame seeds toasted to bring out that nice, rich, nutty flavor. It just looks like it's tossed with maybe a little bit of lemon juice. Really tasty.
And the acid is from what, do you think? I think it's more than lemon juice. Is there vinegar in there?
If there's vinegar in here, it's not a very powerful vinegar. It's probably like maybe a white distilled or something like that. It's not over the top.
It's more like a salad than a coleslaw. It's really delicious. And the cabbage is crisp and clean, too.
Yeah, everything maintains its textural.
All right, Salt Lake gets an A-plus for the coleslaw. Let's go on to the sausage and brisket. This looks like a hearty meal. We're going to gain 5 pounds. Okay, ready? Hold on. Here we go.
That's awesome. Why is it awesome?
Smoky. All the flavors are in balance. The texture of this meat is unbelievably tender. It's just a perfect amount of smoke. The sauce just rounds everything off.
You know, it's funny. I think that one of the mistakes that people make when they try to make barbecue around here is they go too smoky, you know, and they throw in a fake smoky flavor. Here, let me try some of that, Bubba. Holy cow. Holy cow. Oh, my goodness.
That's a piece right there. It's got the fat line running through it.
You know, it's funny. You just said you got the fat line running through it, and that's a piece, but that's because it's been cooked so long, everything's so tender, the fat melts in your mouth.
Exactly. Unbelievable.
Fattest flavor, buddy. If you're going to go for the sausage, you're going to have to pick that up with your fork and just shove it in your mouth like a lollipop. Okay, what you didn't see is that the chef just bit that sausage and it exploded in moisture everywhere. How was that?
Awesome. I mean, it's hard to describe the flavor here. You got the nice snap from the skin of the sausage, that nice, juicy, perfectly cooked, mildly smoky, just subtle flavors all throughout. I mean, this sausage is nice.
Well, you know, and what it's also hard to describe is the look of your face, because when it exploded all over your face, you got barbecue sauce all over you. Barbecue's a messy affair. Be careful, everybody. Mm. Oh, my God. This food will kill you, but you'll die happy. All right, I give them best rating so far.
Hands down.
Mm. Look at the fat on that sausage. That's going to kill you. Don't let it get cold. It'll congeal. Mm. All right, next barbecue.
That was really interesting, Francis. That was from those folks from the Salt Lick in Texas. You know that people, though, used to eat like that when they worked on the farms. Every day. They'd eat like that at night
for it, and they'd have these big old sausages in the morning and lots of eggs. And
I just came from Ireland, where I had Irish breakfast every morning. I have a friend that visited a friend in Northern Ireland, and we had a Northern Irish fry, and then I went to the South, and we did the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Listen, you need to work on a farm if you have a breakfast like that. I don't know how those people, you know, to eat like that every day, you'd wind up being 1 million pounds.
And but Francis, realize that when you're working on a farm all day, you're burning 4,000 calories a day in the sun, outside, backbreaking work.
But not everybody in the South is working on a farm.
Wait, come on. A lot of people in the South made their livings that way. And I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about traditionally, where most of the income from people in the South was people working every day.
You know what I'm just thinking back on as we talk? Thinking back on being at the barbecue?
Uh-huh.
There weren't a lot of really svelte people behind those barbecue stands. Really was a sort of a look they had about them.
When you're cooking stuff and you're like, not fat enough. Usually transfers to the human being.
I don't care what they look like. I just care about the love on the plate. We'll be back in a moment, and we're going to talk with more interesting people from different parts of America that are barbecuing from my experience at the barbecue festival in New York. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott, talking all day today and tomorrow about Q. Francis is at a barbecue festival in New York City. And Francis, how are things in the city? Were people nice to each other for a change?
People were loving it, Mark. It was so much fun to be out on the street and having barbecue and people with things they love. And
it seems so incongruous, Francis.
I know.
Because you got these people who won't look each other in the eyes on the subway.
Uh-huh.
And barbecue is such a familial kind of...
Oh, yeah. People loved it. I interviewed, in addition to interviewing a lot of chefs and a lot of pit masters and a lot of different people, I pulled up just a regular guy on the street, a guy named Bert. So let's hear what Bert had to say about, a New Yorker had to say about barbecue in his hometown.
All right, I'm in.
Hi, okay, so we're standing here having some Q, and as barbecues go, things are very friendly. And so we've just met a gentleman here from New York who is enjoying barbecue coming to his hometown. What's your name, sir?
Bert.
Hi, Bert. So did you come here last year, or is this your first time?
No, I came last year also. No, I've been looking forward to it since I first heard about it.
So what do you come for? I mean, are you a barbecue fan overall, or is this just a new thing for you?
I grew up in St. Louis,
oh,
where barbecue was sort of a staple for us.
Uh-huh.
So I keep going around the city trying to find the best barbecue.
And, all right, so there's a real question. Where's the best barbecue in Manhattan when it's not Barbecue Fest?
I kind of like Blue Smoke. Daisy Mays is pretty good also.
All right, I got to ask you, because I'm a novice when it comes to barbecue. What makes great barbecue great barbecue?
All right, first of all, and the way it's rubbed is very important.
I'm the same way.
Okay. I go along with that. Then the sauce makes it all difference, because the sauce can mask a bad barbecue.
Right, right. So of all the kinds of barbecue from all around the country, where's best barbecue made? Is it in St. Louis?
It used to be, but it became very commercial. All the wonderful places closed down. North Carolina has some pretty wonderful barbecue.
Yeah.
Kansas City.
Missouri?
Missouri has some very good. Missouri, we say.
I'm sorry, Missouri.
From St. Louis has some great barbecue.
Well, it's our great good fortune to have run into you. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me.
My lip's bleeding, Bert. I'm sorry, Francis. I just couldn't resist.
Hey, Bert. I'm so happy I met a man named Bert.
I just can't believe there are people in New York City willing to talk to each other.
Oh, it was great, Mark. It's really great.
Just on the streets of New York. I'm serious. You go into a subway, and God forbid you make eye contact. And now you go to a barbecue, and everybody wants to hug and shake hands.
I think you have negative preconceived notions about New York. Listen, when we come back, we're going to be talking more about barbecue, and you'll find out some interesting things after the news. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott with Mark Pascal, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with my partner, Francis Schott. We own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every day from 11 to noon or just through restaurantguysradio.com. Francis?
Yes.
You know that one of the finest foods in life is barbecue.
Yes, it is.
I actually adore barbecue.
That's fabulous.
It's so fun to hear all these people at the talking about their favorite thing in life, which is barbecue.
But hard to get around here.
Yeah, it really is. It's so hard to find. I mean, you have a couple places in the city, but that's it. Francis, what are the, there are so many different places, and barbecue is different from so many places. What do you think is the biggest thing that, separates the areas?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There are two things that really make a difference. One is what you barbecue. Okay, first of all, are you barbecuing pork or are you barbecuing beef?
Right.
The other thing to worry about is is what you put on it. Is the sauce itself? Mm-hmm. And that makes a pretty huge difference over things. So
there are different types of sauce depending on where you come from or where you go.
Yeah, but it's all what binds barbecue is it's always, and some people will cook barbecue, you know, chickens and turkey and turkeys even and things like that, but but other people usually barbecue fattier meats because that long slow cooking process tenderizes them and gives them a lot of smoke flavor, and it's a smoky flavor that comes over time and with great care. So let's go back and listen to some other folks who know a lot more about it than I do talk about what makes barbecue different place to place.
All right.
Here we're talking with Ron Blassingame from the Whole Hog Cafe. And where is the Whole Hog Cafe?
We're in Little Rock, Arkansas. We've really enjoyed it. Hospitality has been wonderful. And I've been here three or four times on business. It's the first time I've ever, you know, been able to come up here and play. The main thing that's important to us about the sauce is that we have six sauces on our table at the restaurant. And the reason is, if you go to the East Coast, Florida, South Carolina, they like a mustard sauce. You may have noticed in the news here in the last couple of weeks, there's been a conflict going on in North Carolina about Lexington barbecue versus West Coast. Well, what it is, the state's pretty much split and divided that one side of the state likes a vinegar and water base, and the other side of the state likes a tomato ketchup based sauce.
This could cause a serious rift.
It has. I mean, it's already gone all the way to the legislature.
Has it really?
That's exactly right.
You people take your barbecue very
seriously. So we do our, that's in North Carolina. It's not in Arkansas.
Right, right.
But we do, but barbecue people do take it very seriously.
Right.
You're right.
That's what I
mean. And we have a mustard sauce for the Carolina people. We have a tomato sauce for like the Mid South. And then we have a light and a heavy molasses sauce for the Texas and Kansas City people. Kansas City people love that sweet molasses flavor.
Let me tell you something. I'm in the restaurant business as well as having the radio show, and nothing brings people together or makes people more passionate and love or hate than barbecue. What is so special about barbecue that makes people so maniacal?
I have no idea other than the fact that probably I think a lot of people perceive themselves as, you know, and from the backyard cook aspect of it, you know, being able to cook the best barbecue, grill the best chicken or whatever, you know. And I guess it just kind of carries over. People seem to come into our place. They bring in people from out of town. They just like showing us off. I mean, you know, this is our barbecue. And I guess they think it's better than wherever the other people are from. It's better than their barbecue.
Well, I'll tell you, if I ever make it anywhere near Arkansas, I'll be sure and come to your place.
Well, I appreciate that. Come
and
see us.
Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you.
Thanks. Take care. All right. Thanks.
I'll come back now.
We will.
Francis, y'all come back now, you hear? Was that actually a quote from the Beverly Hillbillies?
No.
Or was that what he actually meant to
the
say?
The Beverly Hillbillies were quoting his grandfather.
That's beautiful, man. You got to respect the heck out of a state that will send legislation to the House to be passed to decide what kind of barbecue sauce.
Tomato versus vinegar, baby. That's very important to people in North Carolina.
That's beautiful.
You have no idea how serious these people are. I'm pretty serious about food. But this is amazing stuff. We're talking to these individuals about it, and they're really serious about their differences. And I think it's sort of great in this day and age to still have regional differences, because so much of what we see is the same coast to coast. These people are about local traditions. In a lot of cases, these recipes came from grandparents and great-grandparents, and they're secrets. They're really, really secrets.
Well,
like, the owner will come in to make the sauce, and none of the employees are allowed to know how it's made.
Mm-hmm. I love that there's such a thing as Kansas City barbecue, and I love that there's such a thing as Texas barbecue.
Yeah.
You know, each of these, and North Carolina is trying to create it's a single barbecue because it's split in
it's very important down
it's
there.
It's great stuff. I love it.
It really is. And again, the quality of the food is really, really paramount, and it's not just a game, you know, and it's not about branding, because frankly it doesn't keep very well, you know, and cooking at 18 hours, so there aren't many big chains that really do real barbecue, okay, because it's just not conducive to that happening.
There's no such thing as a big chain that's cooking 30 pigs in the backyard, or, you know, it just doesn't happen.
The backyard, I like that. But, you know, Elaine Roark from Yazoo City, Mississippi, I also did talk to about this, and her husband, Gary, and she started a small business when he lost his job doing something else, and this is a love that they're pursuing, so let's go listen to them.
I'm Elaine Roark. My husband, Gary Roark, is actually the pit master for Ubon's Barbecue, and we are from Yazoo City, Mississippi.
Yazoo.
Yazoo. And Ubon was actually Gary's father's name, and the barbecue sauce was Gary's grandfather's recipe.
Uh-huh.
And just kind of handed down from generation to generation. And we have... We started cooking on the Memphis and May circuit to just introduce our barbecue sauce to different people.
What's the Memphis and May circuit?
Of course, Memphis in May is the World Championship Barbecue Contest.
I see.
And there are probably about 1,000 teams that compete annually on the circuit. And we do that on a regular basis, and have had the privilege of actually winning first place at Memphis.
How does Mississippi barbecue differ from Texas barbecue, differ from South Carolina barbecue, Florida barbecue? What sets Mississippi barbecue apart?
We typically do pork, and Texas is big on beef brisket, chicken, and they do some pork. And of course, in Mississippi, we do a sweet, usually tomato-based barbecue sauce, and that's usually the major difference in the different regions is the different kind of barbecue sauce.
But what my friend and I were just commenting on in this barbecue is that it seems to be that you haven't cooked it as far, as long. It's not completely fallen apart, and it actually retains a nice moisture and texture. Is that sort of on purpose?
Oh, that's definitely on purpose. That's the way that good pulled pork should be served. It should not be mushy. It you just have to cook it to that certain point and know that it's ready.
So you want to cook it to the point where you can pull it off the bone where it's not falling off the bone.
Exactly. And it's not mushy.
And it's not mushy. Remember that if you're in Mississippi, you get mushy barbecue, you go up to the person and you see you're sending that back.
That's exactly right.
Thanks for talking to us.
You're welcome. And, of course, we have a restaurant in Yazoo City. And it's called Ubon's, naturally, after the sauce.
What were you doing before you owned a restaurant?
Gary worked for a company that, after 30 years, filed bankruptcy and a lot of the employees lost jobs. And he had catered for years. It was just natural that he would have opened a restaurant. And, of course, I myself, I'm a nurse, and I do home care. So I just try to support him whenever, you know, he's out here at functions like this.
Well, I have bad news for you. In addition to having the radio show, I'm a restaurateur. I own a restaurant. And Anthony over here is our executive chef. And we're here to both tell you that only crazy people enter the restaurant business.
Oh.
And if you're not crazy when you go in, I'm afraid your husband's lost cause.
Oh, listen, I was not coming this week because I had some prior engagements. And I decided he has gone crazy, and I better come with him this week because that is exactly right.
And if we do have crazy Mississippians in New York, they should be here with their wives, so we're all glad that you came.
Thank you very much, and you can find our website at www.ubons.net.
I'll check it out this afternoon. Thank you so much for getting us our food and talking to us and being so kind.
So, Frances, from what I just heard, this woman, Elaine Rourke, is afraid to leave her husband alone in New York City.
I don't know. The whole thing's scary. I thought her accent was fabulous. Memphis in May, 1,000 people participate in Memphis in May. 1,000 teams, and she won first place.
That's a beautiful thing.
That's pretty cool.
Obviously, the food must be spectacular.
Well, it was. The food really was spectacular. But did you not love that accent?
Yeah, how do you not love that accent?
Wouldn't you love to have that accent?
Little Southern Belle, no.
No. You would sound a little bit ridiculous.
Yes,
listen, when we come back, we're going to talk to Big Bob Gibson, okay? Big Bob Gibson's from Decatur, Alabama. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey 1450. Time is 11:45. Back to The Restaurant Guys. We're doing our show today on barbecue in my little Mississippi Apple Barbecue Festival in New York City this past June. And we got a lot of great interviews from barbecuers from around the country. And one of the most interesting was a guy named Big Bob Gibson, who is from Decatur, Alabama. It's spelt with a C. It's like Decatur, but anyway. Yeah, so Decatur, and we're going to talk with him quite a little bit, yeah?
You know that none of us care how Decatur's spelt.
It's true. Well, we're going to talk to him about recipes that have been long-standing recipes in his family since 1925. Some real history here. So let's listen to what Big Bob had to say.
I'm Francis Schott. How are you?
I'm Carolyn McLemore with Big Bob Gibson Barbecue. We're from Decatur, Alabama,
yeah.
And we have barbecue pulled pork. We're six-time world champion with that pork in Memphis in May, and we cook it every day at our two restaurants in Decatur.
How long does it take to cook that?
Well, this was on 16 to 20 hours. Some of the shoulders were 18 pounds. Some were closer to 20. It's about an hour a pound, so give or take a little bit.
And somebody tends that the whole time?
Well, our cookers are real good at holding the temperature, but we cooked them at 225 all night, and the security guard didn't have to call us one time to tell us that it was either hot or cold. So.
And what are the sauces that we have here to put on our barbecue?
Well, this is our championship red.
Uh-huh.
We won Memphis in May with it in 97.
Uh-huh.
We won Kansas City at the American Royal with it, best sauce on the planet, in 98. And Memphis in May again in 99. And we won Chili Pepper Magazine with it.
What makes it great?
It's just a sauce that really complements our pork.
And what are the other options for sauce?
Some people like it a little hotter.
Okay.
It's the same base recipe with a little habanero. And just adds a little heat because we do serve it in the restaurant and general public doesn't like it too hot. And then we have a mustard sauce for some of those Carolina people, you know, that want a little mustard in theirs.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it's real good.
Uh-huh.
And we have a chicken sauce that dates back to the 1925. My husband's grandfather started our restaurant.
Well, I want to thank you for coming all the way up here to share real barbecue with us New Yorkers who don't know much about it.
We love it, and y'all have been very gracious to us. It's a pleasure to come up here and serve New Yorkers.
Terrific. Well, we're going to go eat some of your food and spread the word. All right, Chef, what do you see here?
Looking at some pulled pork, some baked beans, and some championship barbecue sauce.
Why don't we go for the beans first? Absolutely. You go first. Give me your impression.
Pretty good.
What makes them good?
Well, they're not overly sweet, which I tend to find to be an issue with a lot of baked beans time to time.
Oh, yeah.
They're nice.
I'm with you on that one.
Texturally, they're beautiful.
Let's try this sauce, you and me. Mr. Four-Star Chef, are you impressed?
I'm impressed.
I am, too. It's got a sort of a coffee sort of aroma, like, taste to it. And like you said, it's not sweet. It's got a right amount of vinegar, good balance.
It's definitely well-balanced. I'm curious to try it with the pork.
Yeah, well, we're going to do that in a moment. I have to say, the only thing that's a little disappointing is this sort of spongy, like, Wonder Roll we got going on here.
Yeah, the Martin's Potato Rolls. Perfect for your backyard barbecue, but I don't know how it's going to stand up to this.
Maybe it's perfect for your backyard barbecue in Decatur, and wherever the hell Decatur is, Alabama. But I don't like it so much. Let's try it. Okay, let's try it. We're going to try the pork now, just the pork itself. Your judgment?
It's nice.
Mild, less smoky than I thought it was going to be.
I thought it was going to be a lot more.
All right, now throwing a little of the sauce on here, on our potato roll. Chef, you have the honors.
That barbecue sauce makes that dish. It makes that pork sing.
Yeah, the pork is kind of plain, and I'm surprised how mild it is, but let me tell you something, this is a tough cut of meat. It's beautiful and tender.
Yeah.
It's smoky, and I'm not a baked beans guy. Of course, my mom used to make really sweet molasses baked beans, Boston baked beans.
Exactly.
This ain't them.
Nah, these are these are nice.
I think this is what she was trying for when she was making the Boston baked beans. That's Big Bob Gibson. Chris Lilly's the pit master from Decatur, Alabama.
Decatur, Alabama.
Should we go get some more barbecue?
Yeah. Definitely.
Do you see that I'm picking up a bit of a southern accent because I like that woman's accent so much?
I've noticed. It's quite flattering on you, Francis.
You should see me on St. Patrick's Day. I pick up a lovely brogue. You ready for more Q?
Let's go.
More Q.
Francis, after listening to that segment, I just have to say,
yeah.
Decatur and habanera. That's unbelievable.
She was great.
Oh, she's awesome. I love that.
It was great. The whole thing was great.
One of the things that I think that is great about getting to meet all these people from all across the country is you really do see that this is a really big country with lots of different people in it, lots of different kinds.
And most
of
them are nicer than people from New Jersey.
Certainly nicer than we are. That's for sure.
Man.
I love that you're talking about your mom's baked beans.
Oh, God.
I love that you're talking about them as if she didn't open a can and pour them into a pot and warm them up.
Mm, that was sort of the end. But that was a little improvement. My mom is outside the listening area.
I'm sorry,
she doesn't know how to use the internet. I love her dearly, and she provided for her family every night, and we had a good warm meal 7 nights a week for a long time.
You know, one of the things I never understood about barbecue, though, and where I think they could take a lesson from New Yorkers is exactly what you were talking about, those soft potato rolls.
Bread. Because they can't make bread in the South.
Right, because it's too humid. Ugh. Give me a nice, crunchy piece of
bread.
With my barbecue, and I'll be jubilous.
Yeah, no, there's really no excuse for it. And every place is the same where they do barbecue. They do beans well. They do slaw well. They do sauce well. Bread is abominable.
And Francis?
Yeah.
I'm much more pleasant when I'm jubilous.
I'm
much more fun to be around.
I remember after our first restaurant review, they used the word luscious in their review. And you adopted that nickname for about a year.
I enjoyed being called luscious.
You're a 330-pound, 6'2" guy named Luscious.
Take
and that
it
was
easy,
scary.
Man.
That was really scary at the time. Well, I have to say, though, I did find that everybody there was really, really nice and very informative. And those other side dishes were very important. There is no side dish. Every dish counts. Everything on the plate counts.
Exactly.
And we're going to go out and we're going to go to the South and help them with their bread. We'll be back in a moment and talk just a little bit more about barbecue with Mark and Francis. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. Back with The Restaurant Guys on our barbecue special show. You're here with Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. Mark, I know you're a big meat fan.
Oh, I love my meat.
And I know you love to roast a pig as well, which is not quite barbecue.
Well, you were around those first couple years when I roasted my first whole thing.
Yeah, we've been friends forever. I'm kind of sick of you all after 20 years.
My first trip into the meat market was to pick a fraternity event.
Sigma Pi Fraternity.
Sigma Pi Fraternity. I went with a guy by the name of Casey Fowler, and we went to the meat district in New York City because that was the only place we could get a whole pig
to do a
barbecue.
Uh-huh.
And we used to have an event every year. It was a big barbecue, hundreds and hundreds of people. We'd roast a pig all day long, and literally we'd go the day before, and Casey at 4 o'clock in the morning would be there digging in the driveway, dig a big hole in the driveway, fill it with charcoal, and start roasting this pig at 5 o'clock in the morning. Well, the first pig was a little bit too big.
Yeah.
Okay, so instead of eating at 6, 7, 8 o'clock, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And now we had a party, so there was a lot of drinking going around. And Casey's sitting out there in front of in a lawn chair, guarding his pig. Don't touch that pig, man. It's not done yet. And literally he's sitting there, and drunk people trying to steal little bits of the pig off the roaster.
Sounds very tribal. I think you fraternity guys have a very tribal thing going on.
Oh, God. And when he finally gave the go-ahead, it was carnage.
How long did that little... That sucker didn't stand a chance,
That
huh?
sucker lasted about 4 minutes with 150 idiots at 2 a.m. after drinking all night.
Well, you know, actually, tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk more about barbecue, and we're going to talk about whole hog barbecue, which is just that same thing as cooking the whole hog at one time.
It's the best way, as far as I'm concerned.
And it's, you know, when you talk about barbecue being difficult, whole hog barbecue is very different. It's literally when you cut the hog and you cook the whole hog, and then you serve all the different parts of the hog together in a barbecue setting. It's amazing. It's very difficult, and we talked to one of the best guys to do that tomorrow. And we also have Ken Callahan, who's the chef at Blue Smoke, which is the first big New York City barbecue restaurant.
Hey, Casey, if you're listening, come on back to Jersey. We'll do a barbecue.
So listen to us again tomorrow. We'll talk more about barbecue and where you can go to find great barbecue and even how you can do it at home. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.